Okay, Boker Tov. Today's Amen Araisa, Yuma Ayin Tes. Yuma Ayin Tes. To quickly review, Ayin Ches, Amen Beis. We start off with a Shaila about wearing a sandal on the Tanesim, right? We start off with a Shaila about, actually, sorry, the Shaila was wearing a sandal of Sham. A sandal that's made from like a reed-like material or a rubber-type material. Is that okay on Yom Kippur? And the response was yes. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmini, he Amen Araglav, he stood up on his feet, which we pointed out, it was like, I'm not sure we pointed out in the morning share, but the evening share pointed out, it's like an Adas. He stood up on his feet because he's saying Adas. I saw that Rabbi Shimon Levi went with this type of sandal on his feet in Kippur, and I asked him, what about Tainus Seber? Rashi explains Tainus Seber means Tainus for the rain, lack of rain, and Mesechta Tainus. And the answer was yes. There as well, even though you have a Chamish Nuyim, wearing this sandal of Sham is permissible. And there was another story, in the opposite direction, Rabbi Chada brought that Isra Blas from Ninveh, who was wearing on a Tainus Seber, he was wearing one of these shoes, the sandals of Sham. And I asked him, what about Yom Kippur? And he said, yes, but again, Mutter there as well. Then we discussed a Shaila, the Chara, the Marn Shabbos discusses, if a person with an amputated foot, Nebuch, has a wooden like replacement, wooden foot, so it's a machlekes Rabbi Yossi, whether or not he can wear it on Shabbos, meaning is it considered a masay carrying, or is it like a, is like part of his like clothing, is it considered a levush, and therefore it's not a problem. But they both agree, on Yom Kippur you can't wear it. So we see that even these non-regular shoes, non-regular classic leather shoes, is going to be a problem. And the Mara explained, ultimately, the Mara, Abaye won't give an answer, that's talking about case, talking about skinim, and there was material in there, soft material, that made it into more of a kli, and Rav was very bothered, a couple of questions on it, that clearly, from the safe, it's clear, it's not talking about that, plus, does the cushions make the wood into a shoe? And ultimately, Rav explained, that Avad L'Gabi Shabbos, everyone agrees it's really a shoe. The wooden shoe is Takar shoe. And L'Gabi Shabbos, the Mechlekes was nothing to do with whether you're allowed to wear it. I mean, if it's a shoe you're allowed to wear on Shabbos, so why is this a shayla? Because this could fall off more easily. Are we concerned it's going to fall off and you're going to carry it? Like we had the shayla 2 days ago, by wading through the waters with a shoe or a sandal on. So are we concerned it may fall off and make up to carry it or not? That's the machlekes. But avad has a status of a shoe, and therefore, that's why it's also Yom Kippur. Our shoes of reed that we're talking about, those were not considered shoes. Yes? It's an interesting point from Yossi, that if the kiteya cannot walk without the foot, without the fake foot, then there shouldn't be concern that he's going to walk without it. Obviously, for the fact that it's a machlekes, he first certainly could walk without it, and whether or not it's there just cosmetically or it's aiding in his walking, but he could walk without it, l'chaira, that would be the two possibilities. But avad, that must be that he could walk without it. Otherwise, that's a good chav. That would be the biggest reminder not to walk. Okay. So then the Gemara discussed. The Gemara discussed about children. They discussed that when it comes to children, we have to be particular that they do not put on shoes on Yom Kippur, but we don't have to worry about them washing themselves, anointing themselves. They do themselves, that's fine. And the more we want to know what the chilik is, ultimately, we just go with the more landed. The more landed at the chilik is that that which is needed for the nurturing of the child, like anointing, cleaning him, and washing himself, so that's necessary for the child's nurturing, and therefore, if the child does himself, you're not going to stop him. Whereas, maybe we want to do it, but it won't stop him. Whereas the shoe, wearing a shoe, doesn't have to wear a shoe every day, and therefore, that you don't change. And we quoted from Abaye, he quoted from his mother, stepmother. Abaye was a yasim, mother died at childbirth, but he said that part of raising the child is to make sure to have warm water, bathing him all the time, warm water, and an oil. He also mentioned as he gets older, he's supposed to feed the child egg and kutach, like milk dish. And then the thing that we found quite interesting was, when he gets a little older, bring him kalim that he could smash. Apparently, letting out, you know, energy and aggression is part of the raising of a child. Bring him kalim that he can smash. And then the last things we discussed was, the melech and the kala are able to wash, even in kippur. We explain because the melech, the pasuk says, melech b'yafet techzena, and echa, this is according to Blazer. Chal argue, but according to Blazer, because the pasuk says, a king should always look in his splendor, a kala is shlosh zgan al bala, and we discuss how long could a kala, it's called a kala that she could wash her, you know, the person could say, my wife for 40 years, to me she's like a fresh kala. She said, could she wash her face? The answer is no. It's beautiful that she's a fresh kala, but the answer is no. The halacha is dafka for 30 days, like you find by avelos. Actually, on that point, we need to be saying today, on that point, the Rishonim ask, all you see is that by avelos, when she's not avelos, even first 30 days, which is normally the most common time of avelos, a kala, fresh kala, the case of the Amar Kesuvas was that she was mamish, she became the mother died while they were preparing for the wedding. The machnisas ameis l'cheder, and then they do the wedding, and then even for those 30 days, you still don't refrain from her makeup. It doesn't seem like there's a limit of 30 days. Why are we saying a limit from there? As a fact, the Rishayim, Master Shekel suggests that the Gemara held was Pasha, the max was 30 days. We never were asking if it's more than 30 days. We're asking, but do you have 30 days? And we showed from there, you see, you don't hold back makeup the first 30 days of Avelis, you know, which are the most chamer, you still don't hold back makeup. So that's a raya that the kala has a shame kala for sure for 30 days. Has a shame kala. But not that we have a hot mina that the wash of the face would last past 30 days. And the last mitzvah was the chaya, the woman who just gave birth, she's able to wear a shoe as well. And we didn't give a share for that, by the way. The Ron speaks out, the share there is also 30 days. The first 30 days, if she gives birth, Agamemnon doesn't speak out a share, but the share is, for 30 days she can wear a shoe to make sure she's not cold. And then Shmuel spoke out that a regular person can wear a shoe if he's afraid of being bitten by a scorpion. And we had a shtak kasha with a gevalda kateretz from Ash Alexander. We asked, Elechaira, what's the chiddush? Bitten by a scorpion, it typically is considered a matter of life and death. You let it eat on Yom Kippur if it's a matter of life and death. So it's Shmuel's Chiddush. First, Mr. Kasha, now our Kasha. That what's the Shmuel's Chiddush? You let it wear a shoe if in a scenario they're going to be scared of being bitten by a scorpion. You can eat. So Usher's on the answer. Stay home.
Yeah, it's a concern. It's not a...
Stay home. Well, no, it's a real concern. It's Pu'u Nefesh. There's concern. If there's a legitimate concern being bitten by a scorpion, so you let him, of course, it's Pu'u Nefesh. Why wouldn't you be able to wear a shoe? The answer is, I love the movie saying yes. And Usher goes on to say, stay home. Stay home. Who says you have to go out? Because you want to go out. So the fact that the answer is, since you're wearing a shoe to protect from a scorpion, that doesn't have a shame of Nils Asandil. That's, it's a lumdish of art. And that's actually why, the Chari, the source, why we pointed out, this we did speak out, that if a person has to walk on a way to shul, and the only thing he has is either shoes or he's going with a sock. He doesn't have, you know, a pair of slippers. And it's pebbly, you know, he's going to get cut up his feet. He could wear a shoe. I'm pretty sure it's Lachal Maisa. He could wear a shoe just till shul and then take it off. He could wear a shoe just to, what I mean, stay home. That's, forget it. That's this idea. That if you're wearing it just to protect from harm, but not as a, you know, the comfort of a shoe, the regular shoe, then it's okay. Says the Gemara, bottom of the page on Ayin Ches Beis, last line. Hayachal Kasev Zagasa. Today's whole Amud, and again, it's quite a short Amud, and tomorrow's Amud as well, which maybe we'll get a little ahead, is focused primarily, and the Marzin has two quick shalos right at the beginning, but the primary focus of the Amud is, what is the shear of Kesevus? Kesevus Lagasa, we said the mission, the big date. But what's the shear of this date? Meaning, let me say a little better, in reference to Kebetza. We know the typical shear we speak about always is Kazayas and Kebetza. So one mind number is going to say Kesevus is slightly bigger than a Kebetza, and one mind number is going to say slightly smaller than a Kebetza. I keep saying slightly, it's not 100% clear, but typically we don't want machlekes to be Mekatza Katza. So the assumption is the one that's bigger means a little bigger, one is smaller, a little smaller, but that's a machlekes. That's going to be the focus of the entire daf. Says the Gemara. First, a question on the wording of our Mishnah. We said, "Ayich b'ksevus gasa." One eats a large ksevus. Is the shir b'chayv karis for eating on Yom Kippur? By your papa, top of ayin tazman alef. Kikasevus sh'amru b'garniyasa b'legarniyasa. When we talk about the shir being like a date, one who eats the amount like a date, doesn't mean a date with its pit or a date without its pit. Now, what's the obvious question? The Mishnah literally says, "Like a ksevus, u'kigarniyasa." Jump into it, right? It says, like a date with its pit. The Mishnah wasn't so ambiguous. The Mishnah was pretty clear. It means the shear of a date in its pit. What are we saying over here? So jump into Rashi. Father, Tani Masi said, I, the Mishnah says, Ukigar Nesea. It says with the pit. The Rashi says, no. The Mishnah says as follows. Hechi Kamer, Kemayu Ukigar Nesea, Yachar, Aydil Mahach Kamer, Kemaya Kigar Nesea. Meaning, the way Rashi learns, the Shail essentially is, that we're assuming that the pit and the fruit, Shabbai, are roughly, basically the same size. So is the Mishnah just giving a double description? The shear of Achila, Mikibet B'chayv Karas, is like a date, like its pit. It's two of the same thing, just two examples of the same thing. Or did it mean like the date and its pit? Is it and or is it or? Simple, and or. Is the Vav and or? That's the Rashi learns, that's the Gemara Shaila. Hagu Fadu, we touch the Mishnah. Taisa's bothered because it says it comes out, they tell me the date is exactly the same size as the pit. We're going to see it later, Atzah, that the date is smaller than the pit. Fine. But to say the identical size, it's possible. It wouldn't be the craziest phenomenon. But it's Yechidish to say that the date is the same size as the pit. Therefore, Taisa doesn't like the Rashi's drat. Taisa learns that Gemara knew that you get the size of the date and the pit. What's the Gemara Shaila? Big Chidish Taisa's. Maybe it means like this. When you say like a date, that means a date with its pit inside. That means that whole area of that amount. When it says in the Mishnah, like a kesevus, u'garneaseah, and its pit, maybe it means to give an additional pit. So a date with its pit plus another pit. Definitely not the way we learned the Mishnah. That's how Tais learns. That's the Shiloh. Maybe that's what it means. The Aruch, again, this is obviously a difficult point to understand because the Mishnah says date with the pit, and now we're debating what that means. So Rashi says the Shiloh doesn't mean date and the pit or date or the pit. Either or does it mean both? Tais says, does it mean an additional pit? Aruch learns, the Shaila is, Tais means the Aruch, the Shaila is that this airspace between the date and the pit. That's chak. You have the fruit, the date, and then if you ever notice the pit, it's separated. It's inside, but it's like separate. The pit, the date so detaches. It's totally engulfed, but it detaches from the pit. The pit is engulfed, but it detaches. So when you say like the date and the pit, do you mean? Of course, you mean the volume of the date and the pit. That for sure. But do you also mean the airspace in between also? That much volume? Or you're not including the airspace? That is the way Arach explains the Marshaila. And lastly, I mean, maybe it's others, but our fourth shot is enough for us. The Maram Chaviv learns that it means the shear, we're talking about the shear's kesevas hagasa, right? That we're saying the shear is like a large kesevas, a large date. And the Shaila is, when we say gasa, is it going on the pit as well, or just the date? Meaning we know it means the date with the pit. That we know. It said the Mishnah. And we also know it says kesef hagasa, a large date. So do we mean you have the full shear in order to be chayav karas on Yom Kippur, the shear of a large date with its large pit, or does it mean a large date but a standard pit, which would be a unique way of having a shear? But we didn't mean everything is so large. That is how he understands the shayla. Either way, that's the shayla of the Gemara of Rav Papa when we talk about kesefus that it speaks about with the pit. What exactly does that mean? I'll leave it at that because we have four different malchim of what the shayla is. The wording of the Gemara is with the pit or without the pit. That's the wording of the Gemara. And again, according to Rashi, it means is it both? According to Taisa, I said we're not going to speak up. We're going to chash again quickly. According to Taisa, it means an additional pit. According to Arach, it means with the pit, the space between the pit. And according to the Maram Chaviv, do we mean with a large pit or with a standard size pit? By Ravashi, a related type of shayla. Etzem Kisaira, we talk about tuma being chal in a bone of a dead person, the size of a barley kernel. That's enough to convey tuma. We talk about the barley kernel. Is this talking about barley kernel with its shell or the barley kernel without the shell? Furthermore, are you referring to a fresh barley kernel or a dried out barley kernel? When they dry, it shrinks, it gets smaller. When it's fresh, it's a little bit larger. So which one are we talking about? So Marana just points out that Rav Ashi Leben Bailey Hadar Papa, Rav Ashi didn't ask Rav Papa Shaila, meaning the Mara feels these are very similar types of Shailas. So why did Rav Ashi not ask Rav Papa Shaila about Kesevis? So Agasa, because he says, Gasitmar. Gasa's mashma, the largest tzad. The Mishnah's stressing Gasa. That means whatever is included with it to make it large, that's included. You didn't have the shayla. Ravashi, Lecha, Shibaylas Mikri. When it's moist, it's called Shibaylas, it's not called barley. Shlebi Kabasa, Ushla Mikri. And when it's without a shell, it's called Ushla. Since there are different words to describe, so if you tell me Saira means not moist and with the shell. Without the shell is Ushla. When it's still very fresh, it's called shibaylas. So it means not so fresh, we're dry and with the shell. Okay, the first point out that it's an interesting question. We're asking why Ashi Nasir Papa Shaila. So anytime a guy asks a question, you say to him, "Oh, everything else you first day, nothing else." Like why does everyone have to ask a question? So the first thing I forgot where so it's brought down. What it means is that there was a Masaira. There was a Masaira that they specifically didn't have each other shaylas. It wasn't stam. It wasn't stam that we're asking, why did you ask your shayla? They each had their shayla, not the other shayla, and we therefore were stressing, giving an explanation why that is. Amar Rav Yehuda, Kesefas Agasa Sh'amru, this is again, we said, the key topic of this whole daf, not just today's Amud, the whole daf, Kesefas Agasa Sh'amru, Yeser Mikabetsa. When the Mishnah speaks about Kesefas Agasa, it's slightly larger than a egg. V'kila Rabbanu B'hachi, B'hachi Mi'asu Daita, and it was Kim to the Chamim, they understood that that's the amount that puts a person's mind at ease. Less than that doesn't put the mind at ease. Why we focus on mind at ease? Like you pointed out, because over here, Yom Kippur didn't say a word about not eating. If it was saying about not eating, then you have the classic shir, because Ayas is a classic shir for eating. It doesn't say that. What does it say? You should be ma'ani yourself, inoy. So whatever is miyasev daita, whatever appeases the mind, the opposite of inoy, is a problem. And what's that shir? We're saying only with a kesevus, much larger than a kesayas, is a person's mind put at ease. Meisvei, ask me a question. You tell me that this kesevus is larger than egg. Meisvei, if you let Rebbeicha Mezakei lutem es tafshel. There's a story there. They brought Rebbeicha Mezakei a cooked dish to taste. Rav Shimon makes shake kesevus udlani shemayim, and they brought to Rebbeicha meal two dates and a pail of water. Va'amru, and the Chum said, "Hello, Masukah, bring these up into the sukkah." V'tani Allah, and the Brisa taught about this mission. Let me shalach l'kach. The Brisa taught on this Mishnah. Let me ask you, El Sharot, it's actually a shayla over here, by the way. I teach to the standard teich. V'tani Allah typically means there's a brisa that taught about this Mishnah. There's a discussion whether this is actually a brisa or just we're borrowing that lashon. V'tani Allah usually means a brisa on the Mishnah. Over here, maybe a borrowed lashon. Okay, v'tani Allah, but it was taught at least on this Mishnah. L'mesh lachach, not because that's the actual lacha. Elisha Rus lach malatzman. They want to be machmer on themselves, namely Rabbi Yechman Zakai and Rabbi Gamliel want to machmer themselves to eat this in the sukkah. U'kishinas nu leiler tzaddik eichel pachas mekabeta. When the Mishnah continues, says when they gave Rabbi tzaddik. When they gave Reb Tzaddik to eat, he ate less than a kibetza, na'ala b'mapa, and he took it in a cloth, v'achal chutzasukah. So, like, kind of three, he ate less than a shear, he ate less than a kibetza, took it with in a cloth, not directly with his hands, so he didn't wash his hands, but he took it with a cloth, and he ate it outside the sukkah, v'lei birch akharav, and he didn't make enoch bracha, he didn't make a bracha chorna. The idea is that he held an amount less than an egg is considered a snack. Once the snack is alright, can be eaten out of the sukkah, right? So that must be passed lachamaisa. He can be out of the sukkah, and therefore he didn't wash his hands either. He held, obviously it doesn't need tiyasidayim, and he didn't make a bracha chorni afterwards because he held it doesn't need you have a shear for bracha chorni. If he leaves a shear kibetza, otherwise he's not mechuyev in bracha chorni. It's interesting. The mepharshim are medayik. It says he didn't make a bracha afterwards. That means he didn't bench. What about alamichya? So the first saying the chayra. Who had an almechi? If you didn't bench, you wouldn't say almechi either. Almechi is instead of for bread, you save for other, you know, for the either you know the grapes or the well, almechi is specifically for cookies and cake and the like. But if you didn't bench, you wouldn't make almechi either. What about bar nefashes? So it's a discussion. But Yeshua says lay birch achrav sounds like you didn't make any bracha afterwards, no nach bracha, and not even bar nefashes, which really the source of bar nefashes is from the idea of benching. If you don't have to benching, no chiv benching, you still make bar nefashes, but this is at the source. If you lay bir hakar means lay klum, nothing, that's what Yeshua learns as well. Taisus and brachas, believe it's the flama test. Taisus says that since it's not a bracha chashuva, it doesn't need a shear. Taisus says in general, not do our sugya. Taisus says that bar nefashes, since it's not a bracha, such a chashuva bracha like benching, so benching, which is a more chashuva bracha, needs a shear to further to require benching. And you don't bench without the shear. Whereas bar nefashes, which is not such a chashuva bracha, doesn't need a shear. And therefore, l'chayra, according to that sheet of Taisus, there would presumably at least have been a bar nefashes. The Rush over there says, an interesting lumdus, we know that when you eat, it doesn't make a difference how much you eat. Like you make a shakal, or a bracha reshain in general, no matter how much eating, you make a bracha reshaina. Even if you eat a kolosh, you make a bracha reshaina. Could be burnt fashas is treated like a bracha reshaina. It's a rush. It's similar, it's along the lines of tasers. Like a bracha reshaina, you make a bracha of burnt fashas, no matter how much you eat. We don't do that. We're knowing that we only make a burnt fashas. We only make a burnt fashas if you drink a shear. As a matter of fact, if you see people that are very makbin on, what are you talking about? Excellent. Very good. That if people that are makbid to only make a burn to want to make a burn of fashas to make sure they're mechui, let's put it that way. When they drink a coffee, since when one drinks a coffee, often they take sips, they don't drink a shear in the right amount of time. They drink 8 ounces, maybe, but they didn't drink a shear in the right amount of time. And therefore, I can see if I happen not to drink coffee, but I see if a counter does all the time. But he doesn't drink coffee that often with me, but when I see him drinking coffee, he drinks the beginning slowly, and then he clearly leaves over like half a cup. First time I noticed that, I was like, and he gulps down the last whole section in order to make sure he has a shear in the right amount in order to make a proper burn of fashas. Okay, fine. But says the Gemara, ha kibetza by sukkah. The Gemara now is bringing his question. The Mishnah is being mashma that a kibetza would need a sukkah. We see that kibetza needs a sukkah, and it comes out that the two dates eaten in Margul meal is more than an egg. Because we said Margul meal didn't have to go to the sukkah. He chose to go there, the chumra. So we have already an answer built in that what? There's a date, and dates have a pit. So you're not eating the pit, right? So therefore, maybe a date with the pit is bigger than a kibetz, like who was it was establishing? Like Rav Yehuda was saying, a date with a pit. Is, meaning that amount, is bigger than a kibetza, but a gomil with two dates was less than a kibetza. The problem is, where it says, it's not mustaver. If you're telling me a date with its pit is bigger than a kibetza, then two dates without the pit is less than a kibetza. Essentially, what you'd be telling me is that pits are bigger than the fruit part. The pit is bigger than the fruit, which is not far off. We point it's not far off, but the Gemara finds it surprising that it should be bigger. Answers the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yirmiya in, yes. Two dates without their pits are smaller than an egg. A large date with its pit is bigger than an egg. Amar Papa, Trey Kabi Tamri, two calves of dates, Chad Kabi. If a person has two calves of dates, he's gonna have end up with one kav of pits and some extra. Meaning, more than half of it, you have two full kavs of dates, you'll have more than a kav of pits and other stuff that you can't even use. Now, there's actually a kav of kishaisa, is actually a sefer. I'm drawing a blank now. Not the Sivas. I'm drawing a blank. Who wrote the Sefer? Anyway, it was written the Shmaka Sefer. It's 103 shaylas. Kava, Kuf, Beis, Aleph is 103 shaylas they left unresolved. And because of that, there's a bunch of Svarim that come to answer all 103 questions. So there's Kava Tzirutza. Okay, fine. Rav Amar, because another answer, we'll stop at this. Rav Amar, Hasamayu Taima, Mishum Davi Leperi. Over there, it's different because it was a Peri, Peri Lebaisaka. No, the reason why they were Mechayev is not because they never shared Kibetza. You're confusing it. But the story with was it Rebbe Tzadik? He was talking about bread. And he was saying less than a kazayas, he ate less than a kibetza, he didn't wash his hands. That was all about bread. That would normally need a shear. They need a sukkah. If it was a shear, it wasn't a shear. Therefore, it's all right, you get out of the sukkah. But the fruit anyway, there's no din. He's saying very clearly, no matter how much fruit you eat, fruit you can eat outside the sukkah is not a problem. And therefore, it's not a right tashal b'chlal. Avada, two dates without the pits are greater than a kibetza. One date with the pits greater than a kibetza. That's not a right discussion. You didn't need sukkah over there because it was fruit. The fruit didn't need a sukkah. The Mura is going to ask a question on that. And then it's not so. Let's just see one more Gemara. I apologize. I know I said to stop. Let's see one Gemara. We'll go to the. You know what? No, I'm going to stop because the Gemara continues. The Gemara is going to be a second sheet later, but we'll see a little kasha teretz on this idea whether fruit needs a sukkah or not. We'll see you next time, Rav Hashem. Have a.